Privileged to be back preaching again after a wee stint, after a wee holiday of short days and long nights, which has been glorious. But thanks for those of you who drop meals to the door. I don't think that should ever stop. So keep dropping meals to the door. Keep praying for us. It's funny, as a kid, my parents always said to me, I asked the same question over and over again. I always said, what's the point? What's the point of this? What's the point? Used to do their heads in. And I didn't really care until I had a son. You know what he now asks? What's the point? What's the point? So it's interesting then that I've just felt like the Lord lead me as we're looking at spiritual practices to ask the question, what's the point? Like, what's actually at the core of it? Why have we as a church spent 4 years looking at spiritual practices? Why is it ingrained in us? Why do we do this every year? Why do we talk about it? I want to come back to sort of the foundation of that. So we're going to start by talking about walking. I don't like walking. In fact, I never really liked walking. I never saw the point of it. I grew up with two older brothers. I went in all boys school, so I was always competitive. So what was the point of walking? It was who could get from A to B the fastest, right? There was no point in walking until I had children. And now walking is like a 30-minute holiday as they're locked in a straitjacket in the pram and they're just quiet for a while. But we need to understand that we've been created to walk with God. That's the first thing I just want to touch on this morning. But in order to walk with God, we need to learn to follow. We've got to be good followers. But here's the best thing about following in the kingdom of God. As you follow, you're changed. Like so often in my journey, and I sit down with other Jesus followers, it's like, man, it's hard. It's hard to do this journey. Like it can feel stale sometimes, it can feel dry sometimes. But the best thing about following our God, following Jesus, is as you follow him, you actually become like him. You actually change over time. We have seen breakthrough, we have seen change in a moment, like the kingdom of heaven just descends. But what I'm talking about today is more of a journey that goes over a period of time where by the time in a year, if you continue to walk the way you're going with Jesus, the hope and the desire is you will be more like him, actually changed from the inside out. It blows my mind. So can we dive into that this morning? That's what we're going to look at. We're going to start by having a look at this idea of walking with God. It was put into my contract when I started here at East that I had to start every sermon with Genesis. So we're going to go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 8 to 9, it says this: Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Let me just take a snapshot image of what we're seeing here. This is the DNA of creation. This is what you were designed for. We see the Lord walking in the cool of the day and he asks a question about location. It's after, as Charlotte shared with us last week, where the serpent has come in and he has put his authority over humanity. They are now hiding and the Lord is walking and he's saying, "Where are you?" So picture this, the Lord is walking and he's going, "Where are you? You're not where you're supposed to be." See, the design of us as humans, as his image bearers, was to walk in communion with God, in partnership with God, as his image bearers, expanding the beauty of his creation to the world. That's the initial intent. But we know the story. If you've been around church for a week, you would have heard Charlotte talk about Genesis, right? That you would have understood the story is this, that the serpent or the enemy of God or darkness comes in and actually puts his authority over creation so that creation thinks, I'm going to now know good and evil, I'm going to be God, but actually is moved into shame and hiding. So my question is always, as I see that, is what is God's idea? What does he do? We were designed to walk with God, so what does he do? And as the story of scripture continues, you start to see these hints of what he's going to do. As God speaks about the law, the Levitical law, in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 12, he says this, "I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people." It's just this sense again of, hold on a minute, I thought we weren't where we're supposed to be, but you're talking about a time where we're going to walk with you again. And in Deuteronomy, this hint that God speaks to the people, he says, for the Lord your God walks in your camp to protect you and to deliver your enemies to you. Just this sense again of, hold on a minute. We may be lost or we may be hiding, but he's still walking. He's still where he is supposed to be. He hasn't given up the story yet. And that's why in Luke chapter 24, it's like the story of the New Testament when Jesus comes in, it like pierces the pages because it says this right at the end of Luke's gospel about two disciples walking on a road called Emmaus. It says, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. So if you take the Lord that's walking in the cool of the day in the garden, and he's saying, where are you? There has been this pursuit over history of a God that pursues his people. And two disciples, can I say, that are walking in the wrong direction. Jesus, the Lord, now comes and walks alongside them. It's a God that pursues us so that we can walk with him again. It's beautiful. The image I have got for this, I shared this at prayer and fasting, so forgive me if I repeat this for some of you in the room. But the image I got of this that has been profound for me has, of course, been about Judah, who's our two-year-old. And Judah, when he comes in at the back of the room, if any parents are in here, you know the back of the room on a Sunday morning, especially this service, is just chaos. People are trying to sign in. People are fighting to get into the queue. Gareth Baxter's just weeping, praying for people. It's just mad. And Judah, what he does is he just clings onto my leg, right? But a few weeks ago, Judah got bold. And he just took a few steps because he just wanted to wander off by himself. And I kid you not, like he was standing over there. But I knew him so well, just from the back of his head, I could tell that he was crying. He's got these big cheeks. And so these cheeks like flare out. And I'm like, he's crying. I think he's lost me. He has no idea where I am. And so I turned to him and scooped him up immediately. And I kid you not, I was so emotional, but I think that's sleep deprivation, okay? Because this shouldn't have made me as emotional as it did. And I said to my son, did you lose daddy? He says, yes, yes. He's crying. I said, I need to tell you something. Daddy will never lose you. Daddy will never lose you. The father never loses his children. No matter where they wander off, no matter how lost or broken or dark it feels, it's only a few steps where the father steps in and he claims his children. We saw that in this room with 18 people that just recognized. It wasn't just a moment of saying, I'm going to pursue you, God. It was a God that had been pursuing them their entire lives just to walk with them again. That's the beginning of the story of spiritual practices. Is the reality is that we have a God on the road to Emmaus, the picture is there, where he walks alongside us, even if we're walking in the wrong direction. He has not given up. He has not changed the plan. The plan is still for us to walk with him again. But there is a slight shift in the story when Jesus enters in. Words that will be common to you if you've been with Jesus any period of time. That yes, we've been designed to walk with God, but remember the invitation that Jesus gives those who want to walk with the Lord again. It's two words in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. He says, follow me. And now there's a slight change on the story. Because if we are going to walk with God, not only do we need to be rescued, not only do we need a father that comes who doesn't lose us, but we actually now need a guide. We need a model of what it actually looks like to walk with God again. We need one who is perfect and without blemish, that we can say that is what it is to walk with God, to live as a human, to not reject our humanity, but to embrace it and to walk with God. That's Jesus Christ. That is why he is at the center of the story. He is not just our rescuer and our savior. He is actually our model of what it is to walk with God again. Because you and I both know our lived experience is that we don't just wake up and walk with God and it's back to Eden. Trust me, wake me up at 3 a.m. to a crying baby and say, Ryan, he needs his nappy changed. I am not back in Eden. I think I'm closer to probably where the serpent was, right? Like there is a nature in me, there is something in me that the story's cracked, it's broken. And so I need a guide. I need a level of intentionality to say, I can't just wake up and it's just going to happen. Yes, I've been rescued. Yes, more than conquerors. But my lived experience is it is going to require me to devote my entire life to now following Jesus. That's when so many questions come up for so many people. That's when so many questions come up for me. Because we can still be part of this body. We can still come here every Sunday. We can be part of a connect group where we open the Word of God. We can be a part of a prayer group, but we still are disconnected somewhat to Jesus. We just feel dry going through the motions. And if that's what spiritual practices are in, I'm going to be honest with you, I'll do them out of obedience, but they just lack any level of substance. They just lack any level of like, is this it? Really? Like the God who literally left heaven to come and walk with two disciples go in the wrong direction, and it's this dry or mundane? Like this is what church is? Can't be. Just can't be. And I don't think it actually is. I don't think that was Jesus's intent. But I think we have to be aware of this idea of disconnection. That just going through the motions, that we just do the spiritual practices because that's what good Christians do. In this country, we're called good living. That's just what we do. We go to church on a Sunday, we're part of a connect group, but actually our inner lives, our hearts, we're not changing. We're going with a completely different current. I was so challenged over the summer as I read this line in Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. Paul, as he writes this letter to the church in Colossae, he says this. He says, they have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. They have lost connection with the head. Do you know what they haven't lost connection with? The body. So here is a group of people that are part of the body, which is an imagery that Paul uses again and again to talk about the church with Jesus as the head. He says, you're a part of the body, but you've lost connection with the head. It would be like an arm that loses connection with the head. The arm would just lie limp. It would still be attached to the body. It would still be showing up, but the arm just lies limp because it's lost connection from the brain waves, from actually ordering what to do. What are you seeing? How am I engaging? Here is a group of people that have lost connection with Jesus, but are still part of the head. So here's a group of people that go to church every Sunday, but they've lost connection with Jesus. Here's a group of people that are part of a connect group, that are just in it, going through the motions, but have lost connection with Jesus. Here's somebody that could wake up in the early hours of the morning to do a prayer because that's just what you do, but actually there is a disconnect with Jesus. My question for us today is how do we stay connected? How do we make sure we don't get disconnected? How do we make sure that we don't just go through the motions when it comes to spiritual practices? Well, it's back to walking. Let me just give you some context of some things that Jesus says before we get to walking. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus says these famous lines to his disciples before he ascends to heaven. He says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's good news. So the Lord who's walking, he's going to help us walk with God. We can follow him. He's going to be with us. And yet in John chapter 16, he says this, but very truly I tell you, it is good. It is for your good that I am going away. And part of me reads those two gospel accounts and goes, is Jesus okay? Like he's saying he's going to be with us to the end of the age. And yet he's also saying, I'm leaving you and it's for your good. The words and the encouragement for us is he says, unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. What he's talking is his spirit is going to come. And now rather just having heaven sort of contained, the divine contained into one person, now what you have is his spirit is put into the many. So you have many people that are now following, walking with God. paying attention to learning and engaging of what that actually looks like. And this is how Paul captures what Jesus says in Galatians. He says this, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit. Verse 18, be led by the Spirit. Verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This idea of walking comes up again, but this time it's walking with the Spirit. And it's really unique that Paul uses this language, because this was an ancient concept, not of just like informational learning, but of literally transformation. There's a guy called Aristotle who started his school of philosophy, and he called it the peripatetic school of philosophy. And that word peripatetic comes from the Greek word peripateo, which means to walk. It's the same word Paul uses that when he's saying for us to walk by the Spirit. And the reason Aristotle called his school of philosophy the peripatetic, or the walking school of philosophy, is because he wouldn't take his students into a classroom and sit them down and teach them a load of information. You would find his students literally following him into the marketplace, and they would just watch him as he engaged with different people. And that's how they learned. They learned by watching what he was doing. So here's the picture of us as Jesus followers, who's given us his Spirit. This is what it is to walk in the Spirit, is you're constantly asking and looking and seeing to say, what are you doing? What does it look like for me to walk in the Spirit? How would you respond to this incredibly annoying situation right now where I want to strangle this person? What would you do? Like, show me what you would do. Suddenly now, this is what the spiritual practices become, because the spiritual practices become a window where it opens us into seeing what the Spirit is constantly doing. Not, dare I say, just as a one morning devotional, but actually 24/7 as we are trying to keep in step with the Spirit. If you're driving along the road and somebody cuts you off, and suddenly you find yourself making certain gestures out the window towards them and shouting certain things, and suddenly you feel this sense of like, I don't know if that's what we do. That's the Spirit. It's just this sense of like, oh, I'm actually starting to walk with you, and I'm aware that there's something else there that wasn't there before that's now teaching me what it is to walk with God. That's not the way to go. Does that make sense? That is what it is to walk in the Spirit. But you don't just go off. It's not like Jesus just was like, all the best, try and figure out amongst all those feelings that you're having. Like, some of us are like, is that the Spirit at 3 a.m. saying, go and have a McDonald's, right? If you're anything like me, you feel a lot, right? There's a lot that's going on inside of here. So Jesus didn't just go like, all the best, try and figure out what's the Spirit, what's you, what's the world, what's the devil, go all the best. No, that's where the spiritual practices come in. That's where we actually, throughout our day, are choosing to say, I need to stop and figure out, Holy Spirit, if you're with me and I'm trying to learn what it is to walk with you, what are you doing right now? And how can I keep in step with you? How can I be led by you? Shift my entire perspective to see things that way. It takes unbelievable intentionality. It takes devotion. You cannot do this without giving your entire life to it. You just can't. But the best thing about this idea of walking in the Spirit or following Jesus is, as you follow, you don't stay the same. This was like mind-blowing for me as a Jesus follower. Is I don't just stay the same. I actually change. Let me just give you some context for that. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul uses these words. He says, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. He uses the same Greek word, but slightly different in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. He says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, if you look at each of those words, If you look at each of those words, the word formed that he uses in Galatians, morpho, means to be formed or to take shape. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, the idea of conforming is to have a similar form, nature, or style. In 2 Corinthians, he uses the word metamorpho. It means to change inwardly in fundamental character or condition. So if I was to put those all together, here's what happens as you devote your life to Jesus and you walk in the Spirit. It's that we would take the shape of Christ in our inner lives and character so that we would be similar in form, nature, style, and condition to Jesus. That is what happens in the mystery of what the Spirit does to us as we follow. Is it's not just trying to be like, right, I need to grit my teeth and get through today. That actually, as you continue to walk with him, it becomes lighter. It actually becomes, dare I say it, easier. It becomes your first nature that you wake up and you say, I want to do the things of Jesus. That is what forms in us. That's how we change as people. There was a module that I took in social learning. In ethics, pastoral ethics, and counseling ethics, that I think captures this well in this idea of formation. And if anybody in the room is a counselor, a therapist, psychologist, you probably would have heard of a guy called Albert Bandura. And he discovered something called the social learning theory. It's like, well, how are we changed or how do we learn? And what he discovered is we learn by what we see, not just by what we hear or are taught. So what he did was he got permission to have a number of children take part in this experiment where he would line them up outside a classroom that they could see inside. And each child, they didn't know the experiment had started yet, and one of the people that worked for Bandura would go into this classroom, and this classroom was filled with things that a child would play with, toys and different things, and they would step over everything, and there would be a mannequin in the side of the room, and there was a mallet beside the mannequin. And that person would step over everything, pick up the mallet, hit the mannequin, put it down, and leave the room. Then without saying anything to the children other than just go into the room one by one and spend some time in the room, what do you think every single child, without exception, did? Every single child entered the room, stepped over all the toys, picked up the mallet, hit the mannequin, and walked out of the room. And what they realized was, hold on a minute. We learn by catching things. That's how we change. That's how we are formed. And so as I walk with Jesus, if I am going to be formed, I am looking to catch things from him. I am looking to constantly be aware and ask him, if you were in this meeting today, what would you be doing? Or if you were dealing with this family situation, what would you be doing? If you were me, what is it that you would be doing, Jesus? And as I walk with him, I start to catch his very character. I start to catch who he is, that slowly but surely, it becomes what the early church called their habitus or their habitual behavior. Their actual nature became like Jesus. A lot of Jesus followers do not have confidence in their faith. They just don't back it. Like Jesus is over here, but us actually being like him seems like a distant memory. But can I just say, I actually think from what Paul writes, that's the whole point, that we literally become like him. That's what the spiritual practices are for. It's to help us constantly, every day, 24/7, say, Jesus, where are you? What are you doing? And let me just catch that as I walk with you. So I just want to reflect on this morning, because as simple as that is, that has been profound for me as I walk with Jesus. So there's a few things I want to do. I'm going to invite our band to come up. But there's some questions that for some of you in the room, if you're just discovering your faith, you just need to sit and understand that the Father has pursued you. But for those of you in the room that are hungry this morning, you're saying like, Lord, I've walked with you for a long time, but I want you to do a new thing in me. There's some questions that I find really helpful, and there is a prayer that I find really helpful that summarizes what we've talked about. So some of the questions to ask yourself As you're on this journey of walking with God, following Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, walking in His Spirit, is when was the last time I or someone I trust noticed a change in my character? I say someone you trust because let's face it, there's going to be a lot of people that sometimes say a lot of stuff about us. But you want somebody that's in your life that could be a best friend, or that could be a youth leader, or that could be a spouse, somebody that's with you a lot of the time and is noticing things in you over a period of time that is saying, can I just tell you something? I saw that you used to be like this, but I'm noticing that you're changing. That is the process of formation. Or when was the last time I or someone I trust saw breakthrough in a struggle with sin? Something in my life that I used to have to try so hard not to do, but just recently I've noticed that's just become a bit easier. That I'm literally becoming like Jesus. Or the question being this, where am I currently being formed? Like just asking Jesus, like in my life, don't let me run from discomfort. Like just in my life, the things that are pressing on me, where are you forming me? And what is being formed in me? Just start to talk to him like that. Because I think this gives us an understanding of why James writes to the people that he's writing to and says, like, take joy when trial comes. Because the goal is actually to become like Jesus. Suddenly everything becomes a formation. Everything just starts to form us. So those are some questions that I find helpful. And then this prayer, as you start your day or even throughout the day, is just to acknowledge the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit throughout your day. To say, Father, thank you that no matter how lost I may feel, you will never lose me. Let me rest in your love despite how well or poorly I will follow today. Jesus, if you were me today, what would you do? How would you think and what would you say? Holy Spirit, do not walk without me. Help me confront what's holding me back and be free from it. That's just a content, just to have that in our hearts throughout the day as we walk and engage. Hopefully that gives us a perspective, guys, as Charlotte finishes off this series next week, of just what's the point of these? The point is that we as his church will actually look like him. That he won't just be our rescuer. He won't just be our guide, but he will be the one that we imitate and actually our inner beings become like him. That our first move is starts to look like Jesus. So I'm going to invite you guys to stand if you can. Just going to ask you to take a moment of response. And something that's been on my heart that's pretty clear as we do this is that if this is the journey we want to go on as a church, if this is the journey you as a Jesus follower want to continue, whether you've been doing this for 50 years or 5 days, you're just discovering this morning, I'm going to tell you, you cannot do this journey without the Holy Spirit. You cannot do this journey without the Holy Spirit. I want you to picture my son Judah, 2 years of age, helpless. And he just starts to cry, and that engages my movement towards him. But the danger for us as Jesus followers, guys, is we think that happens once in our lives. And now that I've been rescued, I need to start putting on my big boy pants. But there is nowhere in scripture that I read that says, now that you're saved, start walking just in your own dependency. No. It is learning ultimate dependency on the Spirit. Like, you will not become like Jesus if you're not utterly surrendered to the Holy Spirit. So I just want you to take a moment. And if you're somebody that, whether because of church background or theology or whatever it is, have never had somebody pray with you that you would be filled with his Spirit. Not that you would be saved again or your salvation would be questioned, but simply that your awareness of the Spirit of Jesus Christ that is the one that is going to help you walk in obedience and following him. If nobody has ever prayed that with you, we're going to have our prayer team up here. And I'm just going to ask you, come forward and allow people to just lay hands on you as Paul and elders and throughout the New Testament would do, and just pray over people that they would be filled with the Spirit of Christ. Or if you're somebody that's here, guys, and you're standing here and you're like, I just need to realign my heart this morning back to you, Jesus. That you just come and you allow others to come around you, and the Spirit of Christ that was given to us, to each of us, would just help us so that no matter where you go, no matter where you are, you would be walking with that Spirit. So just take a moment. So come, Holy Spirit. As we step into worship, just shine your light on our hearts. Just reveal yourself to us and draw us home. Give us courage and strength. Give us boldness. Thank you, Jesus.